Gemara in Yuma on Daf Pehei Omid Aleph tells that the Tanoim, about five or six Tanoim, are sitting around and discussing where is the source in Chumash that the Din says that Pikoch Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. Each Tana gave a different marker. And then Shmuel, who was an Amora who lived generations later, says, if I would have been there when the Tanoim were discussing it, I would have given a different source. The Pasuk says, these are the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, V'chai Bohem, V'chai Bohem Lo She'yomus Bohem. Then Rabbi says that Shmuel, who was the Amora, his drush is better than all of the Tanoim's drushes. Each one of the drushes the Tanoim gave is Luhu Pircha. You can dingzach, maybe that Pasuk teaches a different din, the other Pasuk teaches a different din. And Shmuel, the Leisle Pircha. Shmuel's drusha is the best of all. And the Gemara says one of the many differences between Shmuel's drush and that of the other Tanoim is, what do you do in a case of Safik Bikoch Nefesh? That according to the drushes of the other Tanoim, you only have a source in the Chumash that Avadai Pikoch Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. But according to the drush of Shmuel, that's the one that we accept. V'chai Bohem, Lo She'amos Bohem, even a suffix, Hakonas Tanfashis, is also Deicha Shabbos. The Tosfos HaNadaf has a famous comment. The Gemara says that even if the roiv is, let's say a person has some kind of a medical condition, the likelihood is that he's not going to die. Even if he don't drive to the hospital on Shabbos, he's probably not going to die. Or the likelihood is that he is going to die anyway, even if he do drive to the hospital on Shabbos. So what are we being Mechal Shabbos for if the roiv indicates that there's no Pikoach Nefesh, that he's going to survive anyway, he's going to die anyway. So the Gemara says, still, you should be Mechal Shabbos. So Taisa says, how do you know that that's true? The Gemara only says that a suffix. Suffix means 50-50, you don't know. How do you know that even the Lehoch B'Pikoch Nefesh Sachar HaRov? So Taisa says, this is also learned out from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, well, Chai Bohem, with Oshi Omas Bohem, Shalichol Ava B'Shum Minyan Adem Misos Yisrael. Even if it's a slight suffix, also you have to be Doicha Shabbos. Even if the rave is that you're not accomplishing saving of a life, he's still permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. What's it then if you have a Sveik Sveike? So the Gemara has a Braise, let's say a building collapsed, you're not sure if there's anybody under the building or not. And even if somebody is under the building, maybe he's already dead, so maybe he won't accomplish anything by driving a tractor and pushing all of the rubble away to act as if he's saving someone's life. So the Gemara says, even in such a situation, you're still permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. So the Meiri on that Gemara in Yuma says that there are two ways of reading the Braisa, the correct way and the incorrect way. So there were those who read the Braisa, a building collapsed and there's a suffix of anybody on the bottom. If someone is on the bottom, he probably will be alive. Or we know for sure there are people on the bottom, but we don't know if they're alive or dead. What if you have a sex fake? What if it's a suffix that the building that collapsed, was there anybody in the building at all? And even if there was someone in the building, maybe he's dead already. So whenever you have a sex fake, then sex fake is mitam rov. And whenever you have a rov, so then you're not allowed to be a Mechal Shabbos. And the Miri doesn't like that pshat. And he says the more correct pshat is that even if you have a sfek sveka, what of the svekas together? Not sofek yesham adam, sofek yesham adam, semicolon. Or bada yesham adam and sofek, whether he's alive or dead. Even all of the svekas together, he's still permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. That's what the Miri points out of Machlokes, and that's the accepted opinion. Reb Shimon Shkop has a Sefer Shari Yosher that was printed in two volumes. So the last page in the first volume, they didn't have it on the computer, so they didn't print it up. So the last page in the first volume of the Shari Yosher, Reb Shimon Shkop, he poses a kasha. He assumes that Pasha Pshat in the Gemara and Yuma there is that even if you have a Svek Sveka, he's still Mechal Shabbos. And he's bothered with the kasha. Why is that so? If sometimes Svek Sveke is better than Rov, the Rashbo has such an expression in the Tshuvas HaRashbo, the Shachan Simen Kuf Yud quotes it, that Svek Sveke mitam Rov or Odif mi Rov is better than a Rov. So, and the Gemara says that sometimes you do follow Rov not to be Mechal Shabbos. So I come over here, why don't you follow the Svek Sveke not to be Mechal Shabbos? So he gives a fancy logical teretz. But that's the din, that we don't follow Rov, Lahakel. We don't follow right whenever there's any slight suffix, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, and it's permissible and obligatory, and you don't follow Svek Sveke either. Yeah, you're permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. The Rakanti is one of the later Rishonim quotes an incident with one of the Bali HaTosfos. He was sick before Yom Kippur, so the doctors assessed the situation to the best of their ability. So they said, if he doesn't eat on Yom Kippur, Bevadai he's going to die. And if he does eat, he stands a slim chance of surviving. The likelihood is he's going to die anyway, even if he does eat on Yom Kippur. But he stands a slim chance of surviving. So the Rivor, the Baal HaTosfos, the Rivor said, Ein Sofik Motzi Midei Vadai, that since I'm a Vadai goner, the way I am now, I'm going to die on Yom Kippur. There's a slim chance that maybe if I'll eat, I'll survive. So I'm not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So lo and behold, he fasted on Yom Kippur and he died. So all the Rishonim say that he did wrong, that he was supposed to eat on Yom Kippur, even if his Vadai sick and his Safik, if it's going to help. So that's what there used to be a Dayan in the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael, Dayan Ehrenberg, Rabbi Yeshua Ehrenberg. So he has several volumes of Dvar Yehoshua, Shadus HaTshuvas. So when Rabbi Unterman was the chief rabbi, he asked him, do you know how to knock sense into this Rivor? What is he talking about? The din is any slight suffix because Nefesh Adachi Yom Kippur. So he writes in his tshuva, Simen Tzadik Dalet, Nechelik Beis, it's Chelik Arachayim. So he has a whole tshuva where he poses the question, and then he has a few paragraphs he tries to give an interpretation. It's a shvera pshat. We don't follow that Rivor. We assume that he did wrong, and he was Dama Barosha. It was his own fault that he died on Yom Kippur. He should have eaten on Yom Kippur. In the Shulchan Aruch, number 6, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi that if a person has a sofek, sakana, on anybody, he shouldn't ask a shayla, he should run right away to Mimachal Shabbos. The patient may die in the interim while he's asking the shayla. So the expression Yerushalmi has, that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, Hashayel, the one who goes to ask a shayla by the rabbi, harezo shefach domim, because the patient may die in the meanwhile. The Mishnah Berurah there quotes the second half of the Rishalmi v'hanishal, and the rabbi to whom he asks the shayla, harezo meguna, that's the third line in the Mishnah Berurah. The rabbi to whom the shayla is posed, harezo meguna. What is the default of the rabbi that the stupid balabas asked him the shayla? So the Mefarshim explained why. The rabbi should have explained to the balabatim that because nefesh is derech Shabbos, so the fact that they're asking him the shayla means that he never explained it. He's going to get to it.
What is a maguna?
Maguna means a person, an incident, or here it's a person who's not to be praised. A ganai. Ganai means something improper. So the rabbi, there's something wrong with the rabbi if the balabatim ask him in the shayla. I remember once we were sitting in the sukkah, in the broya sukkah, the big sukkah on Yontif, and one of the people from YU, his baby was sick. So he walked over to Rabbi Schwab and he asked him, should he take the baby to the hospital? So Rabbi Schwab got so angry, he said, hurry up quickly right away. And he said, I don't want to be maguna. He felt so bitter. It's not his fault that the boy was asking him. So apparently that's supposed to be the first shiur that the rabbi says when he gives shiur. The first shiur should be that pikuach nefesh is doicha. Otherwise, why is he miguna? He didn't get to it yet. He's going to get to that topic later. So he should make it clear from the very outset that that's the halach. Okay, so the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos whenever there's a suffix hakana, and even a svek svek, and even if the likelihood is that he's going to die anyway, it's not going to help anyway, or the likelihood is that he's going to survive anyway, still Yimachal Shabbos. The question is, so if a person has an ingrown toenail, once in a while they write that someone died from blood poisoning from an ingrown toenail. See, a lot of Yimachal Shabbos in order to go to the hospital to for Sofik Bikoch Nefesh. What if the odds are 1,000,000 to 1 that he's not going to die? Any slight fake of a Sofik Sakan, it's a little ridiculous. So there's a Pischi Tshuva in Yeridei Shin Nun Zayin, where he quotes number 8 of the Mar Mekaymus, where he quotes from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer lived the same time as Moshe Mendelssohn. He's known as the founder of the Reform Movement. So he's Ramad. Ramad is Rav Moshe Dessau. He came from the city Dessau. They used to write down B'Sifrei Ramad al Tishluchu Yad. You're not allowed to read his books because they consider him an apikoros. So the issue then was that the governments in Europe passed the law that you're not allowed to bury anyone until 72 hours go by, until 48 hours go by after the death certificate is signed by the doctors, because there were incidents where the doctor signed the death certificate and they buried the person. Then it turned out that he was really alive and they were killing people. So the Shaila was, maybe, so Mendelssohn said we should go along with this Gzeres HaMalchus, even though there's a din. Kovetik Brenna B'yomahu is supposed to bury people before the sun goes down. Unless you want to have a bigger crowd attend the funeral, so then you're allowed to postpone to the next day or 2 days later, whatever. But if you don't expect more Kovet HaMeis, then you're supposed to bury the same day before the Shkia, and if the person dies late in the afternoon, you can't, it's just impossible, then you have to try to bury before Alos HaShachar, not to violate the Loisese of Solon of Los Alheitz. Halona is Balos HaShachar, and Kovetik Berenim Bayamahu is before the Shkia. So the Din HaTorah is he's supposed to bury on the same day. So the question is this considered a suffix sakana that the government said that the doctors don't know medicine well enough, that they're burying people who are still, sometimes they were burying people who were still alive. And maybe mitam suffix sakonis nefashis, we should be allowed to violate this din in the Torah. So that's what the Maritz Chayis was a rabbi in Zalkova in Galicia, and he thought we should go along with Mendelssohn on this, that this is considered a suffix sakonis nefashis. So it's very interesting. And that shuva of the Chassam Sofer has several hundred tshuvas that we have, and all the tshuvas, it always has the name of the person to whom the tshuva was written. And this tshuva doesn't have the name of the person. There are less than 10 of all the tshuvas that were printed don't have the name of the person. And the reason why he doesn't, he sent the tshuva to the Maritz Chayis. The reason why, because in the middle of the tshuva he gets nasty, and he says, "There's something wrong with you. Are you an Apikoros? You don't believe in the tradition. What's the definition of death?" and so on. But we know that it was sent to the Maritz Chayis because he was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. So he printed a small little sefer, my correspondence, Hebrew, my correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. So he has the shailas that he sent and the responses that the Chassam Sofer gave. And it's obvious that the tshuva was written to him because the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer corresponds paragraph by paragraph with the letter that the Maritz Chayis sent. So this is that tshuva. That in the newspapers, in the Michtavei Ho'itza, in the Bikuri Ho'itim, the newspapers, the Jewish newspapers at that time, they were tumbling about this. Should we follow the Roifei's Manenu that it's a suffix? So he says, every so often at the checkout counter in the AMP, so they have the National Enquirer that they sell there. So they have headlines that a man, they were delivering a eulogy in the church. And the guy woke up and he said, what do you mean a eulogy? I'm still alive. So apparently so there's such a passage in Maseches Smachas that someone went to visit the cemetery and he went to the Beis HaKvaris and hears someone knocking on the door. They let me out of here. They buried me alive. I'm still alive. So you see from the Maseches Smachas was written in the days of the Gaonim. It's not from the Tanoim, it's from the Gaonim. So you see from the Maseches Smachas that such a thing can happen. So maybe it's considered a suffix, sakonis nefashis. Maybe you should go along with the Goyish governments that you shouldn't bury the person until 72 hours go by, until 48 hours go by. So he says, "Gah, that's ridiculous. They write it up in the National Enquirer because it happens once in a million cases." So the Chassam Sofer says, "V'hai uvda, this story, the third line, V'hai uvda, the Maseches Smachas, mikra bi'alma mimikrim harachok amecha le'elef shana, once in 1,000 years, it's not even called the miyuta lehabi. Like Chani Amagol. Chani Amagol slept for 80 years and he woke up and they didn't recognize him and so on. Such a strange story. Shiyoshin Shivim Shana, 70 years or whatever. He said, that's not called Chashin lemiyuta. Chashin lemiyuta has to be a significant miyuta. This is so far-fetched, it's ridiculous. So how do you determine whether it's too far-fetched or it's not too far-fetched? So we have a Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Yud Beis on the base. The Gemara says that there are three women who should practice birth control, because if they'll become pregnant, it's a suffix akona. The three women, aktanu, uberes, and menikon. And each one, shema this, shema that, shema the other thing, it's a suffix akona for these women to become pregnant. Any suffix akona. So the Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir. Reb Meir says like that, suffix akona. Chachamim say, yeah, it's so far-fetched. Mishamesh is kedarka, achazu v'achazu, all the women, they're allowed to live with their husbands, they don't have to practice birth control. Mishamesh is kedarka v'halechas, they can lead normal lives with their husbands. Amen ha-shamayim irachma, why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Shomer psayim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the stupid people, the foolish people. Foolish people do things that are sakana, and the Rabban Shalom will protect them. So that's a halacha, Shomer psayim Hashem. So what does it mean? So the... Rab Chaim Oizer has a tshuva in Achiezer. They didn't have that either on the computer. Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he quotes several of the classical poskim before his generation. Chaim Oizer died around 1940 or so, 1941, I think. So he quotes all the classical poskim. That what the Gemara means to say is the following. When you have a real suffix sakana that's close to 50-50, the guy can't jump off of the roof, jump over the Empire State Building and say, look, no hands. And he's not afraid. A suffix sakana, even if it's, that's worse than a suffix sakana, even if it's not 50-50, that's a suffix sakana. But if it's far away from 50-50, nowhere near 50-50, so then it depends whether the person is nervous or not. For the individual who is nervous, then it's called the suffix sakana. The one who's not nervous, not considered a suffix sakana. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about birth control where he says, and you shouldn't say that there's a difference between close to 50-50 and not. He says, what's the source for that? But that's what Rav Moshe stands alone over here. All the classical poskim said like that. Whenever it's a suffix that's close to 50-50, you don't say Shamei Psayim Hashem. Rav Moshe keeps on insisting he has a tshuva about smoking, that even though the Surgeon General determined that it's detrimental to your health, you can still say in Shem Epsayim Hashem, you're allowed to continue to smoke. And all the classical poskim would say, absolutely not, that the Surgeon General said that it's a serious sakana. You have no right to say Shem Epsayim Hashem. It's only if it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, like the Chasam Sofer said, once in a thousand years, something like that is going to come up. Such a muta that people are not nervous about it, so then it's not considered a suffix sakonis nefoshes. In the years ago, the official biography of the Chazon Ish was called the Pe'er Ador, five volumes. People today have no gidul to read five volumes, so now they rewrote it and have in one volume. They give you the whole whatever. So on the five volume, years ago I had more time on my hands also. So I read the Pe'er Ador. So they have there one section. The Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War. So the Shaila was the Germans, the Nazis, were coming close to Palestine, and they wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael. So they would have, they didn't have radar at that time, so at night, the only way the planes would be able to know where to drop a bomb is if the lights were on. So I remember as a little boy in America, when they were practicing over here, the Nazis went over near America, they were practicing. So I remember when there would be an air raid, so they had to turn off all the lights, so they wouldn't be able to drop any bombs. On Friday night, it's only a practice, you're not allowed to turn off the lights. And the police would come and give you a penalty, they give you a fine. So my father, happened a few times. I just remember when all the lights were off and the radio was on and there was a green light on the radio. That's all I remember. My father, Zechana Lebracha, used to tell over that the police would sometimes come to our home and they would give him a penalty for not turning off the lights on Friday night. So he explained, he's an Orthodox rabbi, not allowed to. So half of the time he got away with it, half of the time he didn't get away with it. Sometimes they made him pay the penalty. But here in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't just a practice, it was for real. So when they would hear an air raid, they had to turn off the lights because there was a suffix sakana. So the Shaila was asked of the Chazon Ish, what if you hear the siren go off faintly from a distance in a different city, nowhere near where you are, faintly? Is that considered a suffix sakana or not? You're so far away from that. So the Chazon Ish told over an incident that happened with the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim visited Lodz on one occasion, so he was there for a few hours, and different balabatim were coming to ask him etzes. So two balabatim came an hour apart from each other to ask the same shaila, that they were Shomer Shabbos, but they hardly earned any parnasa. If they would have been Mechal Shabbos, they would have made more money. But so the shaila was, what did they need the money for? So it was brought to their attention that there was already anti-Semitism building up, and if the time will come that they'll have to run for their lives, they don't have enough money in their bank account saved up that they should be able to buy a ticket on a train to save their lives. Are they allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to get a job, to work on Shabbos, to save up money in the possibility, in the eventuality that they would have to run for their lives, they should have money to save? So he asked the first Balabas who came first, they asked him, do you really think that there's a chance this will save your life? He said he thinks it's a joke, but that's what people say to him. So he said, if you think it's a joke, then it's a very far-fetched suffix sakana. You should be Mechal Shabbos because you may be able to save your life in the future. Everything is so iffy. So he said, you're not allowed to take such a job. Then an hour later, another balabas came with the same shayla, and he asked him, "Do you really think the Chavetz Chaim asked? Do you really think that there's a chance that this will save?" He said, "Yeah." He thinks that yes, if he'll have more money in the bank, he thinks it may happen. It makes sense. So he said, "Then for you, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos." Yeah. So that's what the Chazon Ish told over this incident with the Chavetz Chaim. So he said, over here, if anybody in the village is nervous, can't say those who are nervous should turn off the lights. Those who are not nervous don't have to turn off the lights. If one person leaves on the lights, everyone is going to get killed if they're going to drop a bomb. So the Chazon Ish said, if anybody in the village is nervous because of this faint siren that they hear from a distance, then everybody has to turn off the lights on Leil Shabbos.
How would this role and question or stuff like affect the mitzvah of a pet question, where people fear, some people may fear having direct mitzvah of a pet, and the numbers of children who get the illness are, you know, the government says that there is a risk, and others argue that there isn't a risk. Would that fit into this category?
Sure, it fits in. How about it fits in? Yeah. Whatever the parents, the Gemara says in the Midbar for 40 years, the whole Klal Yisrael didn't perform Bris Milah, period. Because the weather conditions were such that it was not healthy, except for Shevet Levi. So the pshat seems to be it was very far-fetched Sofik Sakona. So that's why they had an Orthodox rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he allowed the Levim to practice Milah. And he allowed the others not to practice Mila. It all depends whoever's nervous. So the rest of Klal Yisrael were nervous for this far-fetched Sofik Sakona. So he allowed them to be mevatel the whole mitzvah Mila, period. And as far as the Levim, they were not nervous. It was far away from a Sofik Sakona. So he allowed them to continue practicing Mila. So for those parents, you see, it's up to the parents to decide. It's an interesting thing. It's up to the parents. So if the parents are concerned that there's a Sofik Sakona, so they should...
Isn't there a situation where if you don't practice certain emergency procedures, then it may eventually lead to sakanat nefashot?
So then it's called a suffix sakana. Anything that may possibly lead to a sakana is called a suffix sakana. Sveksveka of a sakana is also a sakana.
The whole issue of the subjective nervousness of the individual, that probably goes back to the Shiloh of Yom Kippur. The doctor says don't feed him, and the patient says I have to eat. You give him to eat because is that on the same?
That's a little different. The Gemara there says that Levi Adeh Moras Nafsha. The Gemara quotes that pasuk. That when it comes to starvation, the patient knows better than the doctor. Sometimes
this is the same halakha, isn't it?
No, over here we know what the likelihood is. There's a one chance out of 1,000 that the person's going to die. But some people will be concerned about that. Other people will not be concerned about that. So for those who are concerned, then it's called the Sofek Sakon. For those who are not concerned, it's not called the Sofek Sakon. What's the definition of Sakonis Nefoshis? Loss of limb or only loss of life? So that's a machlekes. On Shulchan Aruch, it says Beferish, number 11, it says Beferish, that if you're only concerned about the loss of a limb, then you're not allowed to be avalem. Second line in number 11, avalem machal and all of us shabbos visa deraisa filiyesh b'sakana sefer. Even if there's a loss of a limb, you're not allowed to be machal shabbos to violate an isa deraisa. This filiyesh has a tshuva where he raised the possibility that we should not follow the Shulchan Aruch on this issue, because we have three rishonim who say not like the Shulchan Aruch. He says, when it comes to Sofik Sakonis Nefashis, so we don't follow the Roiv, you follow the Miut. So if there's a Machlekes in Din, also we should follow the Miut, unless it's a Miuta de Miuta. So the Meiri on Maseches Avodah Zarah, let's see, is it here? No. Meiri on Maseches Avodah Zarah writes that even Sakonis Aver is also called the suffix Sakonis Nefashis, and you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with an Issa Derais. So the Miri a lot of times has unusual opinions, so we just ignore what he says, even with respect to Pikoch Nefesh. So the Sridi Yesh says, but the Miri is not alone. We have a Mordechai quotes the Rabbeinu Thomas saying like that. We have a Tosis in Sukkah that says like that. That's number 10. Tosis writes, Afal Pi, it says that a person who's a Chayla doesn't have to sit in Sukkah. Amitz Tairis Potam in Asukkah. So Tosfos says, how much of a chayla is he? Afal pi shein bo sakonas ayin, the sakonas eveh sakonas nefoshes dami, afil l'chal olav asa Shabbos. The Gemara says, chayli ha'ayin, if a person has some condition with his eyes, and sitting in the sukkah is going to aggravate it, So you don't have to sit in sukkah. So Tosfos says, what does he have? Does he have sakonas? Does he have sakonas ayin, that the eye is in he's in danger of losing the eye? So Tosfos writes, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. That's a gemara, because all sakonas aver is considered like sakonas nefosh. That's why it says in our Tosfos. The sakonas aver, because sakonas nefosh is dummy.
Isn't sakonas ayin considered different than regular sakonas aver?
Right, so our girsa in the gemara in Avodah Zarah, daf chav ches amin aleph, is that the Tanoim thought, the doctors today don't understand what this means, but the Tanoim thought that sakonas ayin, if the eye is infected, this can cause death, as opposed to infection any other parts of the body, which will not necessarily cause death. So the Tanoim thought that sakonas ayin is different from all other sakonas aver, that the blood vessels behind the eye will cause the infection to travel to the heart, and the person can possibly die. Yeah, the blood vessels are all over the body. So manishtana the eye from the rest of the body. But that's what the Tanoim thought. So the Rashash writes on that Tosfos in Sukkah number 10, he thinks that there's a misprint in Tosfos. It shouldn't say sakonas aver iske sakonas nefashis. It says sakonas ayin iske sakonas nefashis. Many years after the Rashash made this suggestion that he thinks it's a misprint, they printed from the manuscript the Tosfos HaRosh on Sukkah, and that's the way it says in the Tosfos HaRosh. It doesn't say sakonas aver, it says sakonas ayin. That's exactly what it says in the Gemara. The Meiri and that daf in Avodah Zarah and daf Chav Ches writes not so. He writes explicitly, any sakonas aver, yideicha ol isiritor. So the Meiri really stands alone, because the Tosfos in Sukkah, the Pashtus says that it's a misprint. Tosfos didn't say that. And then the other source is the Mordechai quotes a Rabbi Natam. He's also talking about a different case. He says the patient is going to hear, the doctors are discussing when the patient is awake, so he's going to hear, are we going to do surgery on him, are we going to be Mechal Shabbos to save his leg, are we going to let him die, are we going to let him lose his leg? So the Rabbi Natam says the patient is going to hear that he may lose his leg, so from aggravation he may die. So the Rabbi Natam says he may die, not that loss of the leg has the same din as Pikuach Nefesh. If the patient hears what the doctors are discussing, should be Mechal Shabbos or not, because he may lose his leg, so then from aggravation he may die. But the Rabbi Natam also didn't say Sakona Sever. If that's the case, if you have a case of a Sakona Sever, very often Sakona Sever is Sakona Kol Aguf, okay? But let's say the doctors know clearly he's gonna lose, he was in an accident and his finger was cut off. So if you Mechal Shabbos soon after the accident, they can sew the finger back on. If you wait a couple of hours, it's too late, they won't be able to. And he's not going to die. The doctors have him under control, everything's under control, they're not going to die. That's a Shaila and Din. So the Rishon, the only Rishon that says that Yedoich HaShabbos is really that Meiri and Avodah Zarah. And the Rabbi Natam never said it, and the Tosfos and Sukkah Alpi Pashtus is a misprint. They quote one of the Rabbanim published the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English. He quoted Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik and said he thinks we should be maker like this Sridi Yesh. He thinks that this mediation is right, that now that we have three Rishonim and say like that, one should be Mechal Shabbos even with an Issa Deraisa, just for Sakona Sefer. But that's a minority opinion, that's not the accepted opinion. In the Shulchan Aruch number 11, Shulchan Aruch says when you have a Chol She'ein Bo Sakona, there are four different levels of people who don't feel well. You have a Bari with a Mechesh Belma, a healthy person, who's basically able to function, but he has aches and pains over here, over there, whatever. So then not only don't you give him any kulas, there's a chumra that the Chachamim, the Tanoim made a gzeira of refuah. You're not allowed to apply any medication on Shabbos, a gzeira shemi shachik samamonim. We're afraid that the person may get carried away and may grind up some chemicals in order to prepare a medication.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. A sakonas iver is not a cause for Docha Shabbos?
Right, that's how we paskin. Right.
You?
Right. Loss of a limb is not called sakonas nefesh. We're going to read it, the number 11. We're going to read what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So there are four levels of people that we're working with now. So the lightest level is a bari, a healthy person with a mechesh bialma, has slight aches and pains. Not only don't we give him any kulas, we give him a chumri. He's not allowed to take any medication. Some people, when they get a cold, they drink some schnapps. So I only take schnapps when I have a cold. Normally, I don't take schnapps. But other people drink schnapps all the time. So it says in the Mishnayos that even if you never drink schnapps, only when you have a cold, but schnapps is a mechot brim. Healthy people drink schnapps all the time. They enjoy it. They say a bracha on schnapps. So therefore, you're allowed to take schnapps. Even if you personally only take it when you're sick, that's not called refuah. Or let's say a person only drinks 3 cups of orange juice when he's afraid he's going to catch a cold, and when he has a cold. So, but orange juice is orange juice. The healthy people drink orange juice all the time. So to drink orange juice is mutter, but to pop pills in your mouth, or let's say to have a hot water bottle on your belly, even though there's nothing to grind up, or you have a pain in your hand, so you put a cold, some ice on the hand or something, so there's nothing to grind up in the ice or the water, but still, that says Befeirish in the Gemara, that's an Issur Refua. So if you just have a Mechush B'Alma, you're not permitted to apply the Refua B'Shabbos.
Even today, when nobody grinds up their own medicine, they take it from a pill bottle?
Yeah, because the drugstore sometimes grinds it up. The druggist sometimes is Jewish, and sometimes he's going to grind it up. So the Gzeirah still applies, even in the generation. Years ago, the yeshiva used to have publications on Torah topics. So one of the Rabbi Mendel Lewidus from Montreal published an essay. In the middle of his essay, he assumed that you're not allowed to apply medications on Shabbos. So another rabbi printed an essay after him, disagreeing with him. He says, in my shul, we already allow medications on Shabbos because nobody grinds up today, so the whole Gzeirah doesn't apply. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset about that. And he said that we don't follow that opinion. We follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the Gzeira medication still applies today.
What is a Mechush B'Alma?
A slight ache and pain.
Headache.
That doesn't prevent the two kinds of headache. If he has a slight headache, but he still functions normally, then he's not allowed to take medication. But if he has a splitting headache, and he simply can't function, he has to lay in bed, or he can't concentrate on whatever he's trying to do on Shabbos, so he loses his appetite, he can't function normally. So that's called the Cholu She'en Bo Sakana. There are four levels. There's a healthy person, Bari, with a Mechush B'Alma, slight aches and pains that don't prevent him from functioning normally. Then you have a Cholu She'en Bo Sakana, means person has some condition that prevents him from functioning normally. That's called the Cholu She'en Bo Sakana. That's how the Shulchan Aruch starts in number 11. Cholu She'nafal Machmas Chol Yolim Mishkav. He has to lay in bed because he doesn't feel well. Oh, the Ramah adds on, oh, sheyesh lemechush imitzar b'chol memena kol gufo. It prevents him from functioning normally. So then, we have leniency. So the leniency, one of leniency that's a kula that says in the Gemara, on the second line it says, omrim le'eni Yehudi, you're permitted to do amir le'nochri lasas le'refua. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a melacha deraisa, to drive him to the hospital, let's say. Or the non-Jew is going to grind up the medication for the pill, and he's going to take the pill. So we allow the Cholu She'en Bo Sakana to take pills on Shabbos. We allow him to violate the Gzeira of Refuah. We allow him to violate Amira Lenochri. What else do we permit? So we have other kulas also. Let's see.
What about vitamin pills?
Vitamin pills are a discussion in the poskim. So Rav Moshe Feinstein had like this. There are people that take vitamin pills every day because they should eat eggs and cheese and milk and orange juice, and is their whole balanced diet. But we don't eat all that stuff. So we don't eat healthy foods. So if a person always takes vitamin pills, this is really a dietary supplement. It's considered as if he has the bananas and the oranges and the cheese and the flesh and everything all in this vitamin. So then Rav Moshe says in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer and a different place, that's like food. So he thought that you don't say a bracha on the vitamin pills because it doesn't taste good, but he thought that that's not an Issur Refuah on Shabbos. But if there are vitamin pills that you only take when you have a cold, when you feel you're getting a cold, so you take vitamin C, or you only take vitamin pills when you're sick, you don't take it all the time, so then it's an Issur Refuah. Then you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos.
What about preventive?
Even preventive also. That's a discussion in the tour. Is it only prohibited medicine that heals the person who is already in a state that he's sick, or even medication, pills to prevent them from coming sick? So we assume also even preventive medicine is also included in the Gzeira Derabbanan. Unless it's really a dietary supplement that he takes on an ongoing basis. He takes it all the time. So then it's not considered the refuah. So we have certain leniencies that appear in the Gemara. Take, for example, number 19. So the Gemara has a case in Erevin, the very end of Erevin. You have a person is not healthy, has a cold, let's say, and if he'll fall asleep, the sleep will help him recover. and he can't fall asleep. Can't fall asleep. So we know if we'll play music, soft music, this will help him fall asleep. So the Gemara says you're allowed to play music on Shabbos to have him fall asleep, because the prohibition against music is only the Rabbanon, unless you have some electrical guitar or something. But if you have a plain thing, so the prohibition against playing music is only Gzeir the Rabbanon. So when Makom Chodesh Ein B'Sakana, we would allow it. Or what's another one, number 17? The Magen Avraham is the standard commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So Alevav Hey is the Issa the Heter. The Issa the Heter is by Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, not to be confused with the famous Rabbeinu Yoina, who is a mechutna of the Ramban. This Rabbeinu Yoina only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. He never quotes the Sfardish Paskim. So the Issa the Heter Ha'aruch is all on Yeridei, Hilchas Basel B'cholav, Hilchas Tarubis, Hilchas Malicha, Hilchas Trefas, Hilchas Shchita, all of Yeridei. Every page in Yeridei, they quote the Issa the Heter. Then the last two sections in the Issa the Heter are Dine Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, and the last section is Eating on Yom Kippur for Chayla. These are the last two sections. So he writes, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Issa the Heter, if a little child is sick, so we treat the needs of young children is always treated like a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana. Even if the child is not sick at all, let's say a child gets a temper tantrum in the middle of this, the parents are crossing the street with the kid, and their light is changing red, and the kid doesn't want to budge. So that's considered a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, because the kid is can't budge. Or let's say a baby is hungry, and if you don't give the baby the bottle, so the baby's going to cry. Baby's not sick, there's nothing wrong, there's no chayli, but the baby has a condition, babyhood, whatever you'll call it. A baby, if you don't give him whatever he wants a candy, he wants a toy. If you don't give him what he wants, he's gonna cry. Instead of fighting with his brothers and sisters or playing with his brothers and sisters, he's going to start crying. Whatever, he's not going to function normally. So whoever has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, and you have a way to solve it by violating an Issa Derabbanan, so you're permitted to violate Gzeiris Derabbanan. In the area of Shabbos, there are malachas that are prohibited, malachas deraisa, then there are malachas derabbanan, then there are Gzeiris Derabbanan. Gzeiris Derabbanan means it's not even a malacha Derabbanan. So let's say playing music on Shabbos. Playing music on Shabbos is prohibited, Gzeiris Shema Yisakein Kleishir. You're not allowed to play music because you may hear that the piano is off key and you'll fix it. So to fix a broken piano is a malacha. So you're going to say that to play the piano is mesaken mana. It's not even mesaken mana with the rabban. It's a gzera that it may lead to be mesaken mana.
Rabbi Schachter, there are 39 prohibitions in terms of what we're allowed to do, just malacha and shabbos. Let's say technology, and let's say you gave it to Marie Bass in Yavamas, but so Yudala discusses supplication. Kinda discusses the mumcha here, and was it Benderbia? Essentially speaking, let's say a concert violinist can tell you that the same one of these prohibitions are violated through playing the musical instrument. I'll exemplify. If you milk a cow, you can't milk a cow on Shabbos. Because you're violating, you can't do threshing, so you can't do the cow. When you play a violin, and there's an active movement to the up bow with a violin, the same feel that you do when you milk a cow is to produce when you play that the violin. It's the same type of emotion. You see, so therefore, I'm not thinking
that's
of
not threshing.
Be able to play a
threshing
violin,
isn't based on motion.
It's not a question of the motion. It's a question of the same type of threshing.
Yeah, but still. But still, we assume that playing a violin is only prohibited mid the Rabbanon, and it's not even a malacha mid the Rabbanon, it's a gzera mid the Rabbanon, mainly. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on various Gemara, see the Magen Avraham says in number 17, if a little child is hungry, and if you're not going to give him food, he's going to cry. He's not sick, there's no problem. But he's going to cry, he's not going to, he won't be able to function normally. So tzorche hatinoik are treated like cholo shem misakon. It's a Gemara on Shabbos. The Daf Yomi people are going to come up to it next week, Daf Mem. Mem on the base. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that the needs of a little child who's going to cry if you don't give in to him is considered like a Chol HaShem HaSakana. So we're permitted to violate handling muktzah. That's in number 17. Then in number 19, we're permitted to play music to have the Chol fall asleep. Then in number, where were we here?
11.
Number 11, you're permitted to violate refuah. You're not allowed to take medication But if the person is muta lemishkov, he's laying in bed, he's a chad Hashem b'sakana. So we permit refuah. Refuah is only a gzeirim b'derabbanan, that it may lead to tochen. Or we permit amir l'nochri. If I ask a non-Jew to drive me to the hospital, so ask a non-Jew to do the malacha, that's not a malacha even b'derabbanan, that's a gzeira. So that the Gemara said b'feirish. Amir l'nochri is mutter, amiefa b'chad Hashem b'sakana. Or here the Shulchan Aruch has a case, let's say, I'll ask number 15. I'll ask a non-Jew to climb up. We'll have to learn the rest of the case. I'll ask a non-Jew to carry some warm water for me. I don't feel well, so if I'll bathe with warm water, I'll feel better. So I'll ask a non-Jew sometimes to carry water for me. So it's been miserable. But the Shad, there's a prohibition of rechitza b'chamin. I'm not allowed to bathe in warm water. So it's not only Amir Lenochri, I'm asking the non-Jew to do something that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbat. I'm going to bathe in the warm water. So Rabbi Kevege writes over there, no, bathing in warm water is only a gzeira midirabbanan, and all the gzeiras we allow, but mokum chodu shein b'stakon. So a person has to know what's a malocha midirabbanan and what's a gzeira midirabbanan. So getting back again to number 11, so the first case is a bari with a mechish beyond a healthy person who has aches and pains, slight aches and pains that don't prevent them from functioning normally. We don't give him any leniencies. Adarabba, there's a gzera midirabbanan, gzeras refuah. There's all of the 24 prakim in Masech HaShabbos. One whole chapter is dedicated to the gzera refuah, Perek Shmoneh Shvatzim. It's all about the gzera refuah b'Shabbos.
If it's all
the
Jewish ambulance corps, brought to a shul on Shabbos, take somebody who appears to be very sick, take him to the hospital. What's the obligation to relatives if they want to go into the ambulance that's driven by a Jew? Can you go into the ambulance?
If they think that they'll calm the patient, sometimes the patient the condition can get worse because he's so petrified. So if the relatives think that they'll be able to calm him down by them holding his hand and going along, so then it's permissible. If they think the patient is not going to change anything, then they shouldn't go along. They shouldn't go along in the car.
What's the issue of going along again?
To be nana from the malacha that the Jew. He says if it's driven by a Jew, so it's not right to get the hanor from the malacha that the Jew is doing.
He's not doing for you.
Still, you're not supposed to get hanor, even if he does for someone else. For the chole, he's doing it better, but I'm not allowed to get hanor from it.
Is it preferable to call 9/11 so the malacha will be done by a non-Jew?
Whichever way will be faster. In the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says you shouldn't do Amir al Nochri when it comes to Chol Sheish B'Sakana, because we're afraid that the Nochri may take longer. Uh-huh. So if the Hatzola is known to come faster than 9/11, so you have to Dafka have Hatzola.
All things being equal, it's preferable to call
it. Yeah. So there are four different levels. So the first level is the Bari with the Mechesh B'Alma, where we not only do we not give him any leniencies, they have the gzera, you're not allowed to apply medication. The next level is the chole she'ein bo sakana, where the Gemara says we allow amir l'nochri, and we permit playing music to have him fall asleep, and we permit tiltal muktzah, the Magen Avraham number 17 said, and we permit rechitza b'chamen, to bathe in warm water. We permit one to violate all the things that are on the gzeris m'derabbanan. You have to know what's gzeris m'derabbanan. The next level is a chole who has a sakonas aver, we don't permit chilul Shabbos in a malacha deraisa, but we permit all things that are only midirabbanon. Anything that's only, even if it's a malacha midirabbanon, you're permitted to violate it in order to save the aver. And then if it's sakonas kalaguf, if there's a possibility, farfet possibility, the person may lose his life, so then you're even permitted to violate anisa deraisa.
In case of very shy of that a person can get an infection. That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
So an infection can, of course, can be very, very.
If there are no doctors around, if they're only laymen, so then any sakonas aver is a suffix sakonas kol aguf. If there are doctors around, they can tell the difference. They can say it's only sakonas aver, there's no sakonas kol aguf. But if there are no doctors, whenever there's sakonas aver, there's going to be a suffix sakonas kol aguf, of course. Like there is a famous machloikis in the end of Yuma, and that daf pehei with the Gemara. That's the main discussion of pikuach nefesh. Deicha Shabbos is the end of Yuma in connection with the din that people who are sick have to eat on Yom Kippur. So there's a machloikis in the Rishonim. What if a woman is pregnant and there's only a suffix sakana to the uber, there's no suffix sakana to the mother. So the uber wasn't born yet. So is that called pikuach nefesh? To save the life of the uber that it shouldn't die. So there's a machlokes. So the Rosh writes that it's a very rare, if you have laymen, you don't have doctors around, even if you have doctors. It's very rare that they'll be able to discern that it's only a suffix sakana to the uber, it's not a sakana to the mother. Whenever there's a sakana to the uber, it's going to be a sakana to the mother also. The same over here. Sakana to an aver, if there are only laymen around, it's always the suffix sakana is kol aguf. If there are doctors in a hospital, so then they can say, they can assess the situation. It's only a sakana to aver, it's not a sakana kol aguf.
So you say when it comes to sakana to aver, sakana is different. Why? Because we hold suma nechshavs kameis. So the losing of an eye is different from losing an
ego. That's what some wanted to say. Many years ago, there was a rabbinical council conference in the summertime, so somebody quoted from Rabbi Soloveitchik about making an organ transplant from a dead body. Are you allowed to take a cornea from a dead body? A mace is awesome. No. Is it permissible to get hanor from the cornea to give a person his eyesight? So somebody quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik as saying that Suma Chashiv Kemeis, and therefore it's called Pikuach Nefesh. Rabbi Soloveitchik's daughter, Mrs. Tversky, at that time, wrote a whole humorous news item to make fun of this. So she wrote, it was reported at the last RCA convention, in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik was still alive at that time, but he wasn't healthy enough to say anything. So it was reported that whoever makes less than $55,000 a year is an ani. And the Gemara says in the same, I got it, the ani choshev kemeis. So he's allowed to be mechal Shabbos to make a decent parnasa. So just like that's a late son, so she thought her father would not there. Some poskim say like that. Sumo choshev kemeis. So that's called pikuach nefesh. But she thought that her father would not go along with that. That's an agarita. It's not relevant la halacha. By the Hungarian Paskin, by the Galiciana, they'll Paskin halachas based on agaritas also. So you have, again, so the Shulchan Aruch number 11 gives you the four levels. So if you have a suffix, hakonas kol aguf, then you're allowed to, you're permitted and even obligated to be mechal Shabbos with halachas deraisa. If there's only sakonas aver, then you're permitted to violate all the rabbanas. Everything goes. And if the person is a cholah she'ein bo sakona, there's no sakonas aver, but he's not able to function normally, so then there are different opinions. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote four different opinions, Yeshamim, 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 and then the last line, in number 11, the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'divre hasvara hashlishis nirim. The Mechaber writes, I think we should paskin like the third opinion, namely, that's the Ramban. The Ramban was a doctor, Ramban wrote Torah Sa'odam, all the laws of Sofik Sakona, how to deal with it. So the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the position of the Ramban. Divre hasvara hashlishis nirim. The thing is that it's a little unclear what did the Svara HaShlishis say, what did the Ramban say. So years ago they didn't have the Ramban, they didn't have the Torah Sodom, they only had, as was quoted by the Tur. So the Mishnah Brura number 12 understood based on the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham didn't have the Torah Sodom Laha Ramban. So he understood that when it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's 1, 2, 3, the fourth line, the beginning of the fourth line in number 11, if there's no sakana seva, only chodesh emes sakana, you're permitted to do a malacha b'shinui. So the Mishnah Berurah says, anisa de rabbanan b'shinui. It's a shvuz de shvuz b'makon chayla. Anisa de rabbanan b'shinui. But to do anisa de raisa b'shinui would not be permissible. This is how the Magen Avraham understood. The Balatanya says that that's not correct. First, Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote the Shulchan Aruch like a Chayyodam. So he writes that's not, he doesn't think that's what the Ramban meant. He thinks the Ramban meant to do an Issa deraisa de shinya. And the Abnei Nezer has a tshuva where he says, Abnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe also, so of course he's going to say Balatanya was right. No, but he says, you look in the Ramban, we have the text of the Ramban, we have the Torah Sodom. He says, Ramban says beferish like that. Even an Issa deraisa de shinui is mutter. That's why it's a pella in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa. He already has everything. Why does he ignore the Balatanya and he ignores the Avnei Nezer? He ignores, that's what it says in the Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Ramban, so the Magen Avraham didn't have a Ramban. So he was guessing, he was reconstructing, so the Mishnah Berurah didn't have a Ramban either. So he quotes the Magen Avraham, he only permitted to violate an Issa de Rabbanan like the Shinoi, that's a Shvuz de Shvuz b'makon chayla. But an Issa de Raisa de Shinoi are not allowed to. So the truth of the matter is, and then the Mishnah Berurah gets stuck in Hilchas Yontif. If he has a kasha, doesn't fit into the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, the Ramban will have to admit if it's a major shinui. He says it depends how major, how big a shinui is it. If you do a malacha deraisa with a slight shinui, then it's still a malacha midrabban. If you do a malacha deraisa, the Gemara has a case. The fellow's going to drink the milk directly, sucking out of the udders of the cow. And what has a chadash emes hakana? So that's very mishuna. That's mishuna square. So that the Ramban would agree that that's muta. The truth of the matter, Ramban doesn't distinguish between a major shinui and a minor shinui. The Ramban says what the Baal HaTanya said that he said. So that's why it's a pela on the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa. He's just quoting the Mishnah Berurah with the Magen Avraham. He's ignoring what the Ramban really said. Ramban said even a malacha deraisa de shinui is only a gzeira midrabanan. The question is, a malacha deraisa de shinui, is it lower to the level of a malacha midrabanan? Or do you say, no, it's lower to the level of a gzeira. It's not even a malacha midrabanan.
Why wouldn't it be a malacha midrabanan deraisa with a shinui?
Because a malacha has to be malachas machsheves, and if you do a de shinui, by definition, it's not malachas machsheves. The Mishnah Berurah says like you. Mishnah Berurah Magen Avraham, Malacha Deraisa De Shinui, so it's lower to the level of Malacha Midrabanan.
It seems to be a severe Midrabanan.
Yeah, should be a Malacha Midrabanan. But you look in the Ramban in the original, see, he doesn't hold like that. The Ramban says, Mefurish, a Malacha that's lacking Malachas Mashebes is not called a Malacha, period. The worst it can be is only a Gzeira Midrabanan. Yeah?
Going back to Sakanas Iver, have we expanded the notion of Sakanas Iver to include possible facial scarring for life?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You have to get a non-Jew to do it. You have to get a non-Jew to do it.
Non-Jew to do what?
Whatever surgery is necessary. That's at least a chol shemis sakana. That's at least a chol shemis sakana, but I don't think that's called a sakana save. I don't think so. This kula, that if you do a double the rabbanon, amir l'nochri, and it is the rabbanon, is permissible, mak m'chayla. So this is based on the Gemara in Erevin, number 13. The Gemara says once there was a bris that was scheduled to take place on Shabbos, and in the days of the Gemara, it was considered a safek sakana if you don't bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris to prevent infection. Today it says in the Shulchan Aruch already in the 1500s that the hygienic conditions were better in Tzfat in the 1500s. The hygienic conditions were better, and we no longer bathe the baby with warm water before and after. It's an Ishkin Sakana, Safik Sakana. Safik Sakana depends, it's not Allah al-Mashim Mishinai. Just because the Gemara says something is a Safik Sakana doesn't necessarily mean that Bizman is it's a Safik Sakana. Bein Lahok Bein Lahachmer, there are things in the Gemara that they didn't consider Safik Sakana, and today we know that it is. And there are things in the Gemara that were considered Safik Sakana, today they're not considered. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you follow the doctors of your generation. So the Gemara gives this case. They, in the days of the Gemara, it was considered a Safik Sakana if you don't bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris. So they had prepared warm water and then they spilled all the water by accident. Ishtapech Hamime. The baby's bris was supposed to take place on Shabbos and all the warm water was spilled. So there was another, the neighbor had the other neighbors who had warm water, but there was no Erev Yechatzeres. There was no Shituf and Mevuz. So Midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry from one home to the other because they didn't make an Erev. The Gemara says, how come they didn't make an Erev? Two prominent rabbis lived, they didn't make an Erev. So well, each one was busy learning, giving shurim, they didn't make an Erev. But it's based on that Gemara that the Poskim say, whenever it's possible to make an Erev, so it's the responsibility of the local rabbis to make the Erev, whatever the din allows to make an Erev. So you're obligated to. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, have a non-Jew carry the warm water from the other place to here. Aye, but Amir with the Nochri is not permissible. So he says, no, but you're not asking the Nochri to violate an Issa Deraisa. You ask him to carry in a Chotzer where there is no Erev, that's only Midrabanan. So it's a Shvuz the Shvuz. So Shvuz the Shvuz is permissible, but Mokka Mitzvahs Milo. So that's a question. So the Tosfos in number 14, Tosfos in Gittin says, you shouldn't infer from that Gemara, ein lil man bikan, you should not infer from that passage in Erevin, that a shvuz the shvuz is mutter to carry a sefer to learn in a karmelis. Tosfos says no. We only permit shvuz the shvuz b'maka mitzvahs mila because mila b'zman is decha Shabbos. The mila has a leniency in the chumash. When you perform a bris mila, there's always a malacha deraisa involved. So we permit you to be mechal Shabbos to perform the mila b'zmana. So the Gemara has a leniency. We permit you to ask a non-Jew to carry in a chotzer where there is no Erev, but to do shvuz the shvuz in any other situation, is not permissible. So we don't paskin like that Tosis in the Shulchan Aruch. We paskin that any situation of a shvus, that's number 15, any case of a shvus, the shvus, the makam mitzvah, any mitzvah, makam choli, the makam tzarak gadol, the makam hefsid meruba, so we would permit the shvus, the shvus. Okay. I planned on speaking faster, but I won't be able to, so we'll save the rest for some other occasion. Good.
Tell me, is it right?